Do you want your business idea to exist or do you want to own it? We're going to explore that topic today. I'm Brian Rump.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And this is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast. We have business conversations for the Kawartha commute. Our episode today is sponsored by Starting Point Digital Marketing. Your business deserves to have great marketing that is inexpensive and fits for you. Starting Point Digital Marketing provides intentionally simple marketing that's designed for your business to grow and get noticed. Check them out at startingpointdigitalmarketing.ca. All right, Matt. So this topic that we have is really fascinating. Maybe tell us a bit about sort of what prompted it.
So I was speaking with you, I want to say last week, but time is a construct. I don't know when it was. It was probably 2 to 4 weeks ago in reality. It probably was 3 or 4 weeks ago. It feels like yesterday. You had asked me about a business conversation you and I were having about a business that I am working on right now in launching. And you had asked me, probably the first part of the conversation, do you want this business to exist or do you want to own it? And I was just mostly confused at the time. And I was like, Brian, why are you doing me this way? And then the more I thought about it, I didn't have an answer for why I wanted to own it, other than, and maybe we'll get into this more, but probably just ego, I guess. but I just became fascinated by the question. And I now have been asking myself that question over and over and over again with a lot of different things. So maybe explain to me where, maybe not where that question came from, but why did you ask it?
Yeah, I think I asked it, I think because of a reflection of myself and things I've been internally thinking about. And unlike a lot of my questions, I don't think I stole this from anyone. Most, I do a lot of reading. I listen to a lot of, I think, world-class influencers in their fields, and I pick up a lot of stuff and, you know, I adapt it. And, you know, that's sort of how a lot of business goes. But this one, I think, was the first time I verbalized that to somebody else. And it comes from my own business ideas. I think as somebody who is living in a community, you want to have strong small businesses. I see a lot of strengths in other people, and you see potential for businesses they could have. I also see businesses or ideas that I just would love to be a customer from. And sometimes that sparks owning the business. It's what sparks a lot of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship. And I think there are people who have more entrepreneur skills than others in terms of can create any business. They don't necessarily need to have that passion for it. So I think what's fascinating to me is that line between, do you just want this awesome business to exist and you want to be a customer at it, you know it could be awesome, or do you want to be the one that owns it? And, you know, there are some people who just want to own stuff, right?
Yeah, I still don't. I definitely know the answer to my question was owning it. And I still don't really know why.
Yeah, and I think
trying to be ambiguous, but like also drive conversation here. But I still think a lot of it goes back to what you said about like the entrepreneur that thinks that maybe they can run any business. So,
yeah, and I think it's good to want to run business, and some people want to run businesses, and that's what you're driven to do. And I think there is a bit of a scarcity element. You can't run every business that you want right now. So that's where I think asking that question. Like, you could have 20 business ideas, and I know lots of entrepreneurs have a book of ideas. I have a book of ideas of things, and you know, sometimes they're always in that perpetual state of development or changing, or you have this idea and then you start looking at the environment and start thinking like, hey, will this work? Like, and there's times where you need to take that time to develop it and check it out. And then there's other business ventures where you just need to start it and go. And one tool, I think, and I'm sort of thinking about this out loud, which is awesome, I think, for the podcast, is that question of, do you want it to exist or do you want to own it? And if you want it to exist, maybe you partner with someone, maybe you, you know, help it out, or you, you know, find that person who's going to be awesome at owning it, or maybe you want to own it. Like, there's people who just want to own a lot of businesses, and that's definitely okay. I want to own some businesses.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a fascinating sort of way to, I guess, get yourself to commit to the idea as well.
Yeah. And maybe my desire to want to own this business but not be able to articulate it more so comes from the fact that, like you said, I've got binders full of ideas. There are businesses that I think would be kind of cool around here that I would be a customer at. I want nothing to do with owning them. Like a pretty cool, trendy menswear store driven to people in like early 20s, 30s, similar to Douglas and Son, similar to Providence, up in Bob Cajun and Peterborough. I'd love to see something like that downtown Lindsay. Maybe like a really cool, trendy barbershop for men to go hang out at and like have a 3-hour haircut that actually takes 10 minutes and kind of just hang out or whatever, right? Like, I want nothing to do with that. And that speaks more to the fact that I'm not a serial entrepreneur, because I don't want to just open a bunch of businesses. I've got this like apparel company in my head that I want to open and run one day. What is the point of that? I'm not going to do it. Am I going to bring value to it? Yeah. Is it going to work? I don't know. And then at that point, why would I do it? What? How does an apparel company fit into my marketing ecosystem or my business ecosystem with marketing and podcasts and other stuff like that? So I can easily say, okay, there's businesses that I would be a customer at because I'm like, oh, it'd be really cool to wear this shirt with this saying on it, or go to this place and hang out and get my hair cut. But I don't want to go into the weeds there. So that's when I know that this business idea that you asked me, I'm like, oh, I want to own it. And maybe it is ego, or I'm like, no, this makes sense for me. This fits within my ecosystem. There's a ton of value I can actually bring to it. But it's not me selling Douglas and Son shirts on the corner of Kent Street. So,
yeah, which is neat. And I think it's just a great, you know, the more I think of it, it's a good tool to use to, like, you know, segment that. And I know I do it all the time with, you know, so some, a lot of it's food-based businesses. So
yeah.
I've sketched out some small business plans for, to be open here, some around the dairy industry. So my in-laws were dairy farmers. And for a while, I sort of looked at what would it be like to do a on-farm dairy, which, you know, there's a million barriers to that. I loved one I went to in Nova Scotia called Fox Hill Cheese, which is, cheese and ice cream and gelatos as well. And they have this, like, you drive up to the farm and there's a building and sells like the most amazing gelato that I've ever had. And I'm like, oh man, like, I want this to exist. But then when I break into it, I'm not the one to do that. And similar to, you know, just straight cheese, you know, there's some good micro cheese factories popping up. Looked at that. you know, all sorts of things like that. But I'm not a trained chef, not an engineer for some of that. And I don't really have the skill sets to put something like that together. But man, do I want it to exist. I want all of those things in the Kawarthas, you know, more choice, smaller ones. Which is why I love watching them, you know, like Kawartha Dairy, Mariposa Dairy grow and be successful. Like those are awesome, but, you know, it'd be cool to have some micro ones.
Yeah. And maybe this is intentional, unintentional curveball, but what is the difference between ice cream and gelato? My wife, I literally, every time I see a gelato place, we're like, what's the difference? And it drives me crazy.
Yeah, so that's a good question that I wish I had memorized. It has to do with, it's kind of the same, but with gelato, and I might get this wrong, but you use more milk than cream, typically.
That's what I thought. It was a milk versus cream thing.
Yeah, and it's slight. It's not, I mean, when you get into the weeds of like milk fat percentage, it's a little bit... nuanced. There's also a difference in the churn rate. So how fast you spin it and how much air goes in it. And then also a lot of gelato. So I have a gelato ice cream maker at home. And my gelato is often you have to sort of cook the base a little bit. So you're making almost like a custard for some of the flavors. So that's kind of the difference. Again, I don't know all of it, but it's mildly different that I think it's kind of the same as ice cream. You can usually do a bit more flavors with it. So it doesn't necessarily compete head to head. Like you could have a little gelato shop next to an ice cream place, and I think both would do awesome.
Yeah. Kawartha Small Business Podcast. We've got business conversations about ice cream versus gelato.
Yeah, ice cream versus gelato. I think it's a good example of that, of, you know, things you want to exist. And I know for me, in the exist, it helps me be on the lookout of who I can help. So oftentimes, the nature of a lot of the work I do isn't like, hey, here's an advertisement, hire me for X. A lot of the projects I've got paid for are me finding people or stumbling across them who are in the start of doing something. I've done a lot of work with craft breweries, and pretty much all of them were like accidentally found them, you know, in the kind of starting up a little bit. Again, I don't want to own a brewery. It's mostly cleaning tanks and lines, but I would love them to exist, right? So then I can develop a skill set or expertise that can help them grow and be successful.
Yeah, I feel like wanting something to exist but not owning it is a gut feeling. Like in your gut, you're like, nah, I don't want to be a part of that. Maybe you don't have the expertise. Maybe you don't have the, you don't believe you can provide value, whatever it is. But I still don't know. How do you know you want to own something?
Yeah, that's really good. Because I think for me, there is a huge middle ground. Because there are times where I'm like, if I want it to exist, do I need to own it? Do I need to build it? Or do I need to play a bigger role in it? In growing, like, and this is, I think, where you can become a owner. And, you know, for some people, it's angel investing. Sometimes it's some level of investing in it, where maybe you have to find that person who wants to manage it, maybe doesn't have all the resources. And you're like, hey, let's own it together. Or let's, you know, do something together. For that. So if it is that gelato shop, do I need to find someone who's that passionate and then write a check and be part of that process of doing the business plan, getting it together? And in a lot of ways, I see that could be, you know, my personal future. Like, I don't necessarily want to be the one in charge of it, the face of it, but maybe I want to need to own it to build it for it to exist.
That's interesting. I would be really curious to talk to a serial entrepreneur. They probably don't call themselves that, but that's something you and I at least refer to those entrepreneurs as. Because again, like, I'm not that person. I'm, does this fit what I want to do? Can I continue to maintain the lifestyle that I want, the hours that I want? The, is it interesting to me? Is it going to help my other businesses? I think is the biggest one, where an apparel company doesn't help my other businesses. It doesn't push those along. It doesn't bring new customers in and new opportunities in that regard. So I always like to think of things within like an ecosystem. So maybe I'm a strategic entrepreneur. You have a different term, don't you?
Pardon?
Didn't you? Like, there's a serial entrepreneur that we talk about, but then you said, what's the term that you had used previously about like the opposite of a serial entrepreneur, just a classic entrepreneur or?
I don't remember. But I think, there's, could just be building your own business. I think when we get into the nuances of these words, you know, some people are like, oh, I'm a serial entrepreneur, but I'm not really a serial entrepreneur. And then there's people who own a lot of businesses. I recently met a person who is a true serial entrepreneur. They work for a venture capital firm now. The person joked about losing out or, you know, being part of 70 failed businesses.
Wow.
Lots of successes. So I'm like, oh, that's a true serial entrepreneur. And this person was working on a very specific new business. And they just had an energy and a passion about it. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I want to buy that right now. actually, it's a vegan cheese. And just the way they were talking about it, I was like, I'm not even a vegan. And like, I would buy that, try it out. So that's somebody who I think like has a mechanism and a process for almost any idea. Mm. And they don't get married to that idea, or it's not rooted necessarily in their passion. It might be rooted in what there's a market for, what's on trend, and they're just always trying stuff and they're cool with failure. Whereas I think locally we see a lot of people who are passionate about something, like they're passionate about it, and that business is going to start and grow from there versus, hey, Lindsay needs X, I'm going to do it, even though I have really no desire to be doing that.
Yeah, an investor would need to have like really rigid process and be so process oriented that anyone that came to that person with a good idea that they thought was worthwhile, they could launch within whatever their timeline was to actually, okay, this is step one, this is step two. Versus someone like me, even who's kind of like humming and hawing about, okay, here's where I start, or, oh, I need to do this, and kind of going back and forth as you do these things.
Yeah. And I think, it's fascinating because I don't think there's one recipe that works all the time. They're all different. You know, that serial entrepreneur with the process, they know it's a numbers game, right? It's like, I've been part of 70 failed businesses, but, you know, 100 that work, or even what some of them have one or two big successes that make up for everything. It's like the dragons on the dragon's den. Like, they lose a lot of money and they're part of a lot of failures, but they get a few that are amazing successes, and that's just part of what they're driven to do, and they're not going to stop doing that. Whereas I think other people, great entrepreneurs, they want to figure it out for themselves, they own it, it's rooted in their passion, but they're not necessarily looking for that next business. They might be looking to make that one as best and well designed.
Yeah, that probably comes with success also, though. So like the dragons, for instance, like they've had success in a lot of cases, we can debate this, means money. They've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, let's take this money and let's do something with it. I think if you were a new small business owner, your company launched and maybe it wasn't very successful and you had to stop the business after a couple of years, you probably wouldn't get back on that horse. Probably. But
yeah, you may not. Yeah. You need to have, I think, the realities of some money to get started. And it's interesting because, I think for me, not necessarily wanting to take the risks and own, you know, the gelato shop on my own or the wood fired pizza truck on my own, but I'm wanting them to exist, you know, in a way, maybe the path to that is earn some more money and invest in those,
yeah,
and help offset that risk of getting going. So you can, you know, bring on a partner who maybe has the time and can, you know, put in the patience to grow, but they don't have the time and the capital to really see it through or the marketing expertise to,
yeah,
to do that. Which is fascinating, man. This is a good conversation. It's making me go look for people to execute all of the ideas in my head so I can build my little utopia in Fenway, yeah, Falls with all the shops I want to go to.
And not to be like a therapist, but my experience with you is that you lack the confidence sometimes in some of these raw, not getting things going, but just sometimes like you need a bit of a push and the confidence. But maybe that confidence comes from your awareness that you cannot or should not do everything. So you're like, I can't take on 10 different roles. I need to find that proper person. And that's why you want things to exist and find someone to help it own, like own it.
Yeah, it's true. And one great example of that is the podcast we're talking on right now. The Kawartha Small Business Podcast started almost 4 years ago now with me wanting it to exist because I like podcasts. And after, you know, I did several episodes where it was just me, it didn't, you know, it sort of puttered out, you know, got busy or whatever. Then, you know, I met you and relaunched it, and we're many episodes in. I think this is up in the 40s now.
I think so.
You know, we're, you know, we've got almost a full calendar year of consistent, no sign of stopping. And part of that was finding the right, you know, partner to make it fun and make it happen a bit more. So I think that, again, for me is maybe, you know, the way forward to having those things existing is with the right, you know, balanced skill set. Because I know I can't do it all on my own, and I don't really want to do stuff on my own. And a strategic coach concept is about, you know, procrastination is wisdom, right? And then this gets us into the who, not how, right? It's you're hesitant and you're not jumping in because you maybe know you're not the who to get that going. So you need to find that person.
Yeah. And this, the podcast to me came about in the same way I've spoken about this whole episode, which was, I thought it was a good strategic opportunity where I was actually doing a podcast with a friend before that for like a year. And I think we had 8 episodes and we're just kind of like doing whatever with it. And it got to the point where it was taking a lot of time. And I had said to him, like, I don't really know what the point of this is. Like this podcast that I'm on, like, it doesn't fit my audience. It's not like Kawartha is driven. It's not like really small business driven. What do you want to do with this? I'm like, I was like, I don't want the thing to die completely. We spent a bit of money on a logo. And that was about it. And I was like, you can take the brand, do whatever you want with it. And he's like, I don't even really want to do it either. And that was so, but in my head, I was like, I need something to fit my brand. I need something to fit like my audience. And it was like within that week, you had spoken to me. And you had brought up that you're on this podcast. And like right away, just in my head, like quickly formulated, I'm like, well, that would be a good opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what this will do. Like, I don't want to be another dink with a podcast, but I was like, you know what? Like, this is a good fit. There's a built-in audience already. It sounds like Brian seems like a good guy. I didn't know you much at the time. I did like a bit of digging. I asked around. I was like, do you know? And I like messaged a few people. I'm like, what's up with Brian Rump? So I tried to make sure it was like a good fit. And you didn't have like too many skeletons in the closet. But I was like, if anything, it's a good marketing tool for me. It's a good way to get more eyes on the brand or ears on the brand in this case. And that's why I did this. And that's why I started this, because similar to, do I want this to exist or do I want to own it? I was like, this is a good opportunity for me and it fits within my ecosystem. I'm not talking about, I want to do another podcast where I talk about barbells and burgers. I just want to talk about working out and I want to talk about burgers.
Yeah.
It makes no sense though for me. It's a total waste of my time. So like, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't fit within my ecosystem. And I think that's what like really maybe differentiates me from a lot of other entrepreneurs, but that's where it always comes down to like, do I want this to exist or do I want this to own? Is this a valuable use of my time that fits within what I'm doing and then can actually help and promote my other businesses?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's fascinating. And I love the question. And I think we could do a million podcasts about it. But, I think if you're listening to this, you know, think about those things, you know, businesses you want to exist, ones you might want to own. If you want to own something, but you're, you know, not sure about the nuts and bolts, that's what Matt and I are here for. I think between us, we have some pretty good tools to put all the details in place and, you know, help get that business so that you can own it. And at the same time, if there's something you want to exist, let us know as well. Because I think for me, it's about sort of spreading the net a little bit, meeting people, and, you know, magic happens sometimes when you get the right fit. Or I love just pairing people up together. Like, I do nothing, for the business maybe other than connect two people who can then, you know, do business together and make something awesome. And to me, that's just as exciting as creating something on my own. So, any final thoughts, Matt?
No, I guess the one last, well, yes, then, because I am, I just to maybe close the loop on the ambiguous nature of the conversation we had last time. But I think the thing that made me realize I really want to own it was I just like in my gut would make me so sick if someone else owned this and had this idea. And I say that from a point where I've like one conversation like a couple years ago with someone that like a new business opened and this person was like, I had this idea, I should have done it. And it sounded so petty and it made me sick, like just thinking about it. And there's so much jealousness and competitiveness within business that it sounds so terrible and petty, but it actually, that's what drives me to this latest idea, which is in my stomach, I'd be sick and I'd be pissed off literally forever if I didn't do it.
This is maybe one for another time, but what would you rather do? Would you rather say, hey, you stole my idea. I had that idea 10 years ago and did absolutely nothing with it. Or would you rather be like, hey, I tried this. I failed at it. You're succeeding. Good job. Like,
yeah.
Which would make you feel better?
Well, like I can't even remember if we've spoken about this on a podcast or not now, if it's just you and I, but I have a very different idea about competition as well. Like all kidding aside, like if there was another one of these things that opened anytime soon, I'd be super okay with it. All it does is drive the market. It makes what we do as that business product service, it makes it more, there's more awareness to it. More people know about it. We're providing more opportunities. I don't get all bothered by that as much as I made it sound like I did. If the reality was something else opened, I would be super okay with it. I think competition is good. Asterisk, if it is on par with what you're doing, if it's quality, You can't have competition. Yeah. That's a fraction of the cost because it's garbage, because that actually hurts your brand. That hurts me in marketing. If there's other marketers locally that suck, and like that's sometimes an opinion thing, but it's sometimes it's just a reality. And if there is like really bad marketers out there locally selling their stuff, that hurts me. It makes my job harder because I experience this every single sales call that I'm on, where people are like, we've done marketing before, it didn't work. And I'm like, no, it does work. You just didn't have someone doing it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, the same for every business. So, great conversation. Hopefully this has provoked some thought, and you're listening to this and your ideas are flowing. If you want to talk to us about any of them, reach out to us. Our email is setitup@coworthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.